Recording in progress. Thanks. I love it. What's up?
What's up, everybody?
Get everybody a minute here to get going.
Welcome to the New Dimension Comics Presents the Toddcast, featuring John, Handsome John Engel, and Tim, the Time Cop, Cope. We are here today to bring you amazing books, fun times, Star Wars talk, and stuff. Yeah.
And other things.
and some things.
And things. Hold on. Let's. YouTube looks like it's having a bit of an issue on my end. Hold on.
I can pull it up too. Let me see.
Oh, never mind. We're good. It's weird. It's not showing me my usual stuff, like it's not showing me like who's watching and all this other stuff.
What's
give me that? A second. I'll figure it out. I was doing the
what's up, guys.
What's that?
Bringing it back, 2022. Bringing the what's up guys back.
Do we need the what's up guys back? I mean, that's...
My dog is looking at me like I'm stupid.
Well, I mean,
he's not wrong.
True. I mean, right. My dog ate some of the controller.
Oh, geez.
Things. Yeah. Luckily, the controller itself is fine. It's just the controller things are bad. Yeah, it's not letting me do anything in the comments. This is gonna be fun.
Well, mine's working on on this end, so I can.
All right. So, with events coming up, we pretty much have the Ohio Valley Store's anniversary sale is this coming Saturday. So, go check that out. Half off dollar books, 10% off a bunch of other stuff. Could be a good time. And then Cranberries is the first weekend of February. So same pretty much deal. Yeah. That's pretty much all I got for that stuff. Like it's nothing super crazy this week. This is like the craziest like light week I've had in a long time. So
it was a light week, but man. Some really good books.
Yeah. So, all right. So we have a new thing that we're going to do and we need you guys help. How many people are watching?
Yeah.
I can't even tell. It's like,
not we got three right now. We need everybody's help. We want to make a segment where we tell you about just the real crappy character, whether it's a hero or a villain, that's in comic books, super obscure.
Oh, there we
and
go.
We're gonna teach you all about that character. So we need help coming up with what to call the segment. So we need your help. It's gonna be basically teaching you guys all about, I guess, learning, getting you some learning in on crappy comic book characters.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun to kind of do the D list of everybody,
like the D list of the D list.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome, but we need your help naming this segment. So we're only gonna do it on the last Thursday of every month because it gives us a whole month to find a really good super terrible character to do. And we just want your
barring any guests. If we would have any guests, we might have to adjust
or it, holidays because
yeah. It's holidays. Yeah,
I think next year we might just take December off. I'm just
wouldn't just be a bad easier. Idea.
So help us figure out some names. It'll be a good time.
Yeah.
All right, comics. Let's go first. Do you want to go first?
Wake up. Yeah, I'll do it. Did you do the share thing for me?
I did.
Share. Sweet. Let's see. What do I have first? I'll do I'll do Superman Son of Kal-El first. This is my first book. I'm going to do this one because it's going to be really quick. This book continues to be really good. Tom Taylor is writing is so much fun. This feels like a Superman book that, like, I wish we would have got a long time ago, but maybe what they needed to do was exactly what they're doing, is have somebody else being Superman, and that's his son.
Right.
So it really works. It's really fun. This is him trying to, if you remember, the villain was kidnapping people and powering them up. He tried to blow up the Kent, or he did blow up the Kent farm and tried to kill the Kents and Superman. And he is continuing to kidnap people off the streets. And basically the entire episode is Superman is trying to find those people. But before that happens, he is from that previous meeting, he is supercharged, and his powers and everything is just dialed in at like a 12. And he can see everything. He can hear everything more than what he should be able to. And he is just flying around the world, saving everybody, doing everything he can to help anybody that he can. And it burns him out. He ends up crashing on his friend's house, which is starting to become more of a love interest. Together, they team up and they go to find the people that were kidnapped so they could save them. And they run across Lois and Robin. Lois is doing some digging, trying to help. Didn't know Lois was going to be there. And Robin was trying to do the same thing. Some really funny moments where Robin gives him a compliment. He's like, I've known you for a long time. I'm really happy for you. And he's like, this is really scary that you're being this positive. This is kind of weird. Could you stop it? You know, it's a very quick issue. There's some fun moments in it, but ultimately this is like, if you want a good Superman book to read and you want something that gives you that hope that Superman gave you before, this is the book. You should be reading this book. It's probably one of the better DC books that's out there right now. So.
All right. Sounds good.
Boink.
All right. What did mine pop up first? Ah, Captain Marvel 35. So I'm trying to catch up a little bit. And this is in the last of the Marvels chunk where there's, you know, it's like the being that is like their all-knowing thing is basically become a dude and is trying to like steal all the Captain Marvel powered people, and they make like a clone of Mar-Vell and stuff. Like it's a bad Mar-Vell. And in this, like in the last issue, we saw Carol split herself, and a version of her that can't actually speak but looks like a mix of Binary and the Phoenix helps. I believe that's Star, right? Like she was part of this story.
Star, I think Star was early on, but I think now she is kind of like split off on her own. So
okay.
If I remember correctly from the previous issue, the energy thing is kind of like Binary, like what you were saying, but it was an energy form that she was projecting, and then she was basically like mind controlling it. So it was almost like a separate entity from her, like she separated her energy.
I was talking about the blonde in the jacket that
that's the sword. That's Philo Vale.
Oh, really? Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
shit. I missed that completely. Well, we haven't seen her in a long time.
So. We haven't. Yeah.
So these suits are kind of symbiotic type thing. Mm-hmm. So they kind of rescue pretty much like the Carol Corps of the people that are up there. This new entity that can't speak takes on a look of binary, which is cool. The guys they rescue are Novar, which is Marvel Boy, Jenis Vel, who is the basically the entity, the consciousness of Marvel, but only when he uses the negabands. So we're gonna see how that plays out later. Monica Rambeau, Jessica Drew, Jennifer Takeda, and Rhodey. So it's kind of like the most Marvel people, like most of the people that were ever called Captain Marvel, plus Havoc, War Machine, and Spider-Woman, because they're kind of her partners in crime. But most of this issue is just like that entity taking on the look of binary, and then them kind of waging war against these crazy clones, which is, you know, pretty awesome in my mind. And at the end, the Avengers show up and they're like, hey, we're here to whoop ass because you fucked with the wrong people. And yeah. I'm pretty excited about that. So
nice.
So yeah, definitely worth checking out. I dug it a lot.
I think it's on issue 35. Is that 35 or 36?
35.
I think it's been one of the more solid Marvel books since it came out.
It's definitely one of the more solid Captain Marvel books, considering it went more than like 12 issues.
Oh yeah, because none of them ever go very long.
Everything since the Kelly Sue run, like everything past that, none of it has gone more than like 12 or 18 issues, except for this run. So
my next book is Batman. This is still with the same creative team. If you remember, the last issue left off with Batman was investigating the murder of Abyss by Batman Incorporated, Batman Inc.
Right.
But Batman is no longer funding Batman Inc. because Bruce Wayne doesn't have any money.
Right.
So this starts out with where it left off, where Batman is face to face with Luthor. And right before that, you get a flashback scene where Alfred is telling Batman or Bruce Wayne back in the day that bad guys don't just hide in the dark. Sometimes they hide in plain light. And it's kind of like, hey, this is, you know, talking about Luthor being out and being Luthor, you know, the Luthor that we know when we were growing up, that was, hey, I'm a good guy, I'm doing good things, but really was being a dick,
an a-hole.
So I don't know how you say this detective's name. We'll call her detective is it a Kaiha, c-a-y-h-a, detective Kaya? C
It'd Kaya. Just be Kaya.
We'll call her Kaya. So Detective Kaya. She's like, hey, you guys know each other. And he's like, yeah, I know him. He's a dick. They part ways. You get this scene with afterwards where Luther is talking about this wine and how it's the last wine from this wine refinery that burned down and is super old, and how everybody has a price and he bought it, and in a weird flex decides to just pour it out in front of Bruce Wayne, who he knows is Batman, which is kind of weird. That goes back to the Hell Arisen stuff, mm-hmm. that he found out about Batman. But it's something that's like I'm noticing too in a lot of DC stuff, because now you see in like the Superman, when he was saving somebody, he takes them to Wally and he's like, hey, I need your help. Save this person. I got to go save somebody else. He's like, thanks, Wally. And he's like, yeah, no problem, John. and they're talking those names right in front of the person they're saving. So DC's like, it seems like maybe they're turning this corner where they just like don't care about secret identities anymore, which is a little bit weird. So weird for them, I guess, you know. But anyway, so, you know, we come back to this point, and basically what Luther's doing is saying, you don't have any money. Nightwing gave away all of Alfred's money. So you need money. Let me help you out. And he tells how he's the one that's been funding Batman Inc. this entire time. Bruce doesn't want to have anything to do with him, walks away. He goes back to the station, and he wants to get this body so he can examine it. But Luther wants to get the body and examine it, the body of Abyss. So Batman creates a distraction, takes the body, looks at it, finds out, hey, this is not Abyss. I don't know who this is, but Abyss died two days ago. This guy's a couple months old, whoever this is. Everything goes dark. You get this really cool shot, and I think this is when the artist is at his best, when he's got like the really dark blacks and the dark scenes like this. And you see Abyss says, I'm not dead, and he jumps out. A little bit of a fight ensues, and I won't tell you about what happened with the rest of it, but it's a nice cliffhanger that should lead into something fun in the next issue. But I'm interested in who this Abyss character is. I don't know if it's a character that's existed before, if this is somebody new. So we'll have to wait and see. If you know, I don't know if you've ever heard of the character, but I have not.
I don't believe I have. So I'm also not a huge Batman guy, but or at least I'm not current on Batman.
I was a bigger Superman guy than I always was Batman, but the last team was really good, so I figured I'd give the new creative team a shot.
Cool. All right. My next book is Thor 20. This was probably my favorite book of the three. Yeah. And I'll tell you why. It is my favorite book because Odin is such a prick in this book.
Yeah.
That I love it. Like there's a scene where you know, he's burying Eitri, like Thor's burying Eitri because the god of hammers is laying waste to the 10 realms. And he's completely killed a lot of things. And, you know, he starts talking about like how Eitri will be avenged. And Odin is like, a king cannot rule on his knees, boy. And they kind of get into a fight, and Thor just like punches the shit out of him, and he like goes flying, and he starts like trying to have at him. And then all of a sudden, Loki's like, "Stop fighting, come to Jotunheim." And like all of the frost giants are pretty much dead, and he's just like, "Oh shit, what is going on here?" And they talk about how Loki was trying to find the history of the God of Hammers so that they could try to figure it out. The whole time, like, Odin has been such a prick, they keep interrupting him every time he tries to be like, well, guys, I got to tell you something. And then all of a sudden, Sif and Throg show up, and they're like, dude, you got to see this. And they take him to Earth, and you see that Broxton, which was like where the Asgardians that went to Earth, like took over, is completely annihilated. So Thor's like freaking out. He really wants he calls for Mjolnir. Mjolnir comes, but instead of coming to his hand, it beats the shit out of him. Like in violent poses here. Like there's definitely some Mjolnir to the face panels, which are awesome. And then you find out that Mjolnir is actually a feminine god of hammers and is just energy hammer.
Yeah.
We'll call her MC. So
and the Brocks and stuff, that's like, I mean, that's all the way back to like, I think when like Straczynski was writing it with Oliver Kopiel, like that's what, like early 2000s.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, then Matt Fraction did stuff too.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that book a lot. I thought it was very, very good. So
Donny Cates, I think he takes pretty solid drugs. He takes some good drugs.
I mean, yeah.
It's like, hey, has anybody ever made like the hammer a person? No? Okay, here we go.
What can we do with Mjolnir that we haven't done yet? So
there might be a few spoilers in this. I don't know how to review the last issue of a series without really saying this is what happened. So I'm going to try. Inferno number 4, this is the end. This marks the end of Hickman's run on X-Men. It opens up where it left last book, which was Professor X and Magneto on the Orca station. And they are trying to find out where Moira was by tracking the chip that they had put in her arm. But they don't know that her arm had been cut off last issue, and that they're just basically tracking an arm. They come to the scene where the Orcus soldiers are, you know, yelling at the mutants and saying, hey, like, this is it. You're done. And a really cool thing happens. And you get this moment where Omega Sentinel is like, and Nimrod, or like, it's as if you guys aren't even here right now. And they annihilate all of the Orcus soldiers.
Jesus. And
the reason behind that is because they want this to be the age of machines. They don't just hate mutants, which is a great twist, because Nimrod had always hated, you know, mutants.
Yeah.
They don't just hate mutants, they hate humans, because both humans and mutants do the same thing. They make machines, they try to get them to use them what they need them to do, and then they just toss them aside like they're nothing. So this is the beginning of a mutant of a machine revolution. So let me see where we're at before we get to that part. So Professor X and Magneto, they just want to know where Moira's at. The Cerebro gets smashed in this fight that they have with the two robots. So now what you're looking at is, if something would happen to either of them, there's no data backup for Magneto or Professor X, because Cerebro was destroyed. So when they get resurrected, all of this knowledge about the machine war, you know, the uprising of these machines is going to be lost. So they're trying to play it a little like, okay, let's slow down. Let's talk about this. Magneto's being a little hot-headed, and finally he's like, fine, let's hear what you guys have to say. We'll do a swap, because he was going to kill Omega Sentinel and Nimrod was going to kill Professor X. Magneto lets Omega Sentinel go, and Nimrod's like, you're pretty stupid, and then snaps Professor X neck, and then Omega Sentinel kills Magneto. Yeah. So that's kind of where that ends. Skips forward, and Moira is telling Mystique, you know, you can't kill me. I've already told you that my power is that I resurrect. You can't kill me. And Mystique points this gun at Moira and goes, can't I? And there's this flash of white, and it goes to a flashback scene where we see that Emma gives Mystique a weapon, and the weapon is from Forge, and essentially it turns somebody that's mutant into a human.
Oh,
we all Yeah. So we all know that Forge has this thing where like he can think up of any machine. So I thought that was really cool because humans have been trying to come up with that for a long time.
Yeah.
They've never done that angle where like, oh, a mutant made a thing that could turn mutants into humans. So she shoots her with it. And now essentially Moira is human and she gets into this kind of like yelling match with Destiny. And she's like, I want to save you guys. And Destiny goes, no, you want to cure us. And Moira kind of breaks down. She's like, yes. And that's where you get this revelation that this entire time, Moira reliving these lives has not been to try to save mutants, but to cure them. She wants to cure them at an infant stage before they even manifest powers. She's like, then they'll never know what they lost. Because I guess the pain that she's felt throughout her life has been enough for her to not want other people to go. It's kind of twisted a little bit, but I thought it was very interesting. The neat part is while this is happening, they're getting ready to kill Moira. And that was a scene with Magneto just going berserker on Nimrod before he got killed. And that was out of order. And Cypher shows up and, you know, he's got Warlock on his arm. And Cypher talks to Krakoa, and this whole time he's kind of been talking to Krakoa, and he knows these things are going on because they're all happening on Krakoa. So he comes in and he's like, I don't want to like, you know, sell things short, but this looks a little ominous. You're going to kill her forever. He's like, that's kind of serious business. And Mystique's like, you need to get out of here or I'm going to kill you. And he's like, I don't think you are. And I don't think you're going to kill her because we have laws against that. And we saw it way back in the beginning where they threw Sabretooth in this giant pit in Krakoa and we've never heard from him again since then. I'm talking, this is what, three years now,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Because he killed somebody that was human. So now he's saying, look, you can't kill her because we have laws and she's human. And if you kill her, then I'm going to have to tattle on you is basically what he says. And they're like kind of in an impasse. They don't know what to do. He goes, Cypher goes over and he gives part of Warlock to Moira. So she has a Warlock arm now. And he says, Krakoa is going to open a gate. You can leave and go anywhere you want to. This is the last time you can use it. He's not taking her side. He's just doing what's right. And what his defense is we made something great here and we have laws. And the laws say this, and I'm not going to let you or anybody else break them. So he gives her a chance to leave. Destiny and Mystique just kind of shout out, like, you can run. You're always going to be on the run, but you'll always be looking over your back because we'll be there some way. Cuts to Professor X and Magneto being reborn, and you have Emma is wearing the helmet, and she does the To Me My X-Men line, which was really great, kind of in a mocking way to Professor X, because they're like, what happened? They don't remember anything before that or after that fight. And she says, we told everybody. She's like, you had these secrets, and you weren't wrong to have secrets, but you were wrong to keep them to yourself. We have this quiet council, and that's the reason we have this, because it keeps this thing that we built that's great together, and you guys almost destroyed it by being dicks. And you can be on, she's like, you can be on the council, but things are going to be different from now on. There was a little bit more that happens after that, but essentially that kind of wraps up Hickman's arc. And I thought it was one of the best X-Men things that I've read in a long time. Just a lot of really cool things in this issue. So there's a lot more to it. So pick up the issue and read it if you are reading X-Men. Because I probably left some things out, trying not to like overdo it, but it was a big issue. It was like a 45, 50 page issue. So
Jesus, who's taking over after him?
I want to say Jerry Dugan was taking over, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
If it was him. So
I couldn't remember either. I know Steve Orlando is doing a Avengers book. Yeah.
Yep.
Very excited about that. So, all right. My last book is Ridiculous. It's My Bad number 3.
Are those cucumbers?
Yes, they are. They are. So, if you'll remember from the first issue, the chandelier is trying to figure out why the Emperor King would send him a salad shooter for his birthday. And he's still kind of obsessed with it. And he's having these really weird dreams about salad shooters. And so he keeps his Alfred guy, Yates, in a drawer, like in his stand up closet. I forget what those are called. But he pulls out the drawer and he's like, "Wake up, Yates, I can't sleep." And he's like, "Salad shooter nightmares again, sir." "Yes, we're going downstairs to the laboratory." So they go down there and it's just this, like, okay, so I laughed a lot at this because I've dealt with people in my life who get sidetracked by this dumb kind of shit and then don't understand how to fix it. Okay.
Yeah.
So he's supposed to be trying to figure out how the Emperor King knows his identity. Instead, he ends up figuring out that the Accelerator, who's another superhero, has 2.5 million followers on their social media, where he only has like 10,000 followers on social media. And he's like, "I don't get it. What's the difference? Why has he got so many?" And his is like showing himself like at like cool places and with like doing charitable works and all this stuff with people. And you see that the chandelier is just posting pictures of the giant bologna sandwich. So he's like, "I don't get it. This is weird. I don't get it. No way." So he's like, "Prepare the nightlight." The nightlight is like his bat jet, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a jet with a giant light bulb on the front, like a Christmas light bulb. So he goes and flies and finds a retired villain who can make you think, persuade you with whatever they want and pull you in like it's a social media feed, and his name is Instagram. So so he gets he's like, "What's, like, explain this to me." And I feel like this is even going to sound more horrible. I feel like this is how I feel when I'm trying to tell Todd how to use social media for the company better, and he just doesn't understand that you can't post like 5 posts a day, and you can't post like things without people's faces all the time. Like, you have to have faces every once in a while and other stuff. And you can't only do memes. Like, it's like all the algorithm type stuff. And I'm just like, oh my God, I feel like Instagram trying to talk to the chandelier. And, you know, so they kind of have a fight, and the chandelier comes back to his place, and he brings in this giant lizard from the planet that the Accelerator is from. And he's like, "All right, so you're from their home planet. Can you do something crazy back on the home planet to kind of keep him off social media for a while?" And the lizard's like, "Yeah, I know these guys, real hard lizards. Big, no-nonsense reptiles." And he's like, "Perfect. So what about my payment?" And he's like, "Give me about a week." And it's like this giant sun lamp because he's a giant lizard.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the second part is Rush Hour, who's a basically like a superhero that knows when you're like not wearing your seatbelt and all this other stuff and driving badly, whatever. So he's actually like flying through like traffic, like standstill traffic. And he's like, hey, sir, you need to buckle up for safety. And he's like, actually, like all this other stuff. The guy's like, nope, pretty sure you need to do that anyway. So then the dude in the car hulks out into this giant green thing, and you find out that he's actually called Man-Child. Which is why he always complains about everything. So they end up just flying him to the thing. The last story wasn't that great. It was Emperor King experimenting with like a torture device. But this book like just consistently is awkward and funny, and I love it. It's all of those things that you know, that are just like, man, if I had like an E-list version of the Justice League, what would it be like? It'd be like this book right here. So like more so than like the Boys. Like the Boys are like the vulgar crazy, what goes wrong when you have superpowers. This is the these guys are just ridiculous. Like but it's a lot of fun. It's an Ahoy comic book. Make sure you guys check it out. I really enjoy it. I've really enjoyed a lot of stuff Ahoy put out. So
it seems like it's been pretty fun just watching you review the first three issues. So
yeah. I love that salad shooter, man. I think it's hilarious. So
hey, what do you think about like if it was like, oh, this is the Todd cast, but now we're gonna talk about a terrible character, so we're morphing into the Turd cast.
Oh,
and then and then for a brief few moments, well, we are talking about a terrible character on the Turd cast.
It's not really like that it needs to be the, like, it's not really that these characters are just turds. It's just that they're not really used a lot. Because some of them are actually pretty cool.
Because they're turds. They're turds. I guess we have Boba Fett next, huh?
Yeah. This is wrapping up today within an hour episode, which I am very excited about for the first time in a long time. Don't have so many events going on. Yeah, I watched it.
I watched this morning. All right.
So for those of you who haven't watched it, we will talk to you later. Just mark your videos so you know when to come back to it.
Yes.
Think of a cool, fun thing, because we're going to premiere that new segment at the end of this month on the last Thursday of the month. So make sure
somebody said something else.
I said the super sucks. I said the ass caps.
They're both like, good choices.
These characters are such ass, and it's recapping these ass characters.
Yeah.
So
this episode was better, but like also still not great for me. I just feel like there's got to be a chance that like Dave Filoni's not as involved as what he was in Mandalorian. It feels like it's missing some of his charm.
I don't think so. I think it's hitting all the right cylinders for what it's supposed to be.
So I was excited about a few moments in this episode. So it's mostly a flashback still with Boba Fett is still kind of imprisoned by the Raiders, Tusken Raiders.
And I called this episode Dancing with Banthas, by the way.
Yeah. and he's kind of like becoming one of them. And I think the thing that's kind of interesting is seeing more of this culture, because we're used to them just being these jerks that are over on the hillside shooting, but these are more like the peaceful ones. Even though they clubbed him and dragged him across the desert. And you know, he tells the leader that he's going to help stop the train that's coming through. He learned their language, their sign language.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's dance. That's why I called it Dances with Banthas. It's dancing with wolves.
He picked it up so quick.
Yeah. You know, yeah. He's, it's Dances with Wolves. Like he just, you know, it's one of those things where he's just going to kind of become part of the tribe. And then he's going to do cool things for the tribe. And he's going to help the tribe get better. And he's going to help those outsiders stay out of the tribe. And he's learning. He's learning, I think, in this episode about a lot more about Tatooine than he knew. Mm-hmm. And I think what we're going to see happen is he's at some point going to get an army of freaking sand people to go after to fight the Hutts, because the Hutt scene was pretty good. But this is kind of lining that up to that, in my opinion, which would be awesome. So
essentially, you know, you had this guy that was a shitty bounty hunter, and he is learning to be something different, and it's the Tusken Raiders that are teaching him that. And that's the part that's a little bit interesting to me is, you know, this is a blank slate for this character, because there's not any real history that's canon for it, so they can do whatever they want. So it's interesting they go this way. But there's a scene that I thought was really cool when and I didn't know this, but I had seen some names in the credits and look them up. Anytime I see some names in the credits that I don't recognize, I look them up, see if they're like credits or like from some cartoon or from where do they get this character from that they're using. And the names that came up were Cammy and Fixer. And I was like, oh, what is this all about? And I looked it up, and it was a deleted scene that George Lucas had taken out of the original films, where Luke met up at Tashi Station with his friends Cammy and Fixer, and that's what they put in this. When he goes to steal those bikes off of the biker gang, that's Cammy and Fixer, and they're at Tashi Station getting some power converters. And I just, there's always one of my favorite lines. I think at Tashi Station, get some power converters. It's always one of my favorite lines because he sounds so whiny. So it was cool that they put that in. But
and it's cool to actually see Tashi Station, which is also cool.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, that's Tashi Station? Oh, all right.
Yeah. Oh, so it's a bar. Okay.
But the thing that was the best part of the whole episode was when, you know, he comes out from the mayor's place, which was kind of a letdown a little bit, the mayor reveal. Thought it was going to be something that was like three or four episodes down the line that they revealed, and it was going to be like, whoa, that's the mayor? So that one kind of fell flat a little bit. But then you had the two Hutt twins come around the corner, and there was so much life and character to them. You know, the guy picks up the rat and is like damping his sweat with it and tosses it, and then she's got her fan and she's cooling off. And in the comics, Jabba had hired a bounty hunter, and now this bounty hunter enters the scene. And I'm not sure, are you familiar with the character of this bounty hunter?
No, but I thought I saw that character on the cover of a book at some point not too long ago.
Yes, that is Black Chrysanthemum, and he is a Wookiee bounty hunter who was banned off of Kashyyyk.
Wow. Well, he looked badass, so.
Yeah, and he is Dr. Aphra's henchman / sidekick.
Oh, that's why I knew him. Yeah.
So I saw the corner of the shoulder pads, the like the orange, like the gold spike.
And I
lost my mind. I'm like grabbing the table. I'm like, wait, nah, for real? And he just comes into the scene. And I'm like, is this for real right now? Is this like, and I'm more excited about that and the possibilities of that and just the scenes with his character.
Yeah. But
that costume was wicked.
Yeah. It looked awesome. I would be interested if they brought Dr. Aphra in now. Which would be kind of cool, in my opinion.
Yeah. And it's around, well, I'm trying to remember. Is this, so he gets out, the Death Star's already gone, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because this is after. So she's still around. She should still be around. I don't know how old she would be.
This is like not much. This is like what, maybe 5 years after the after Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, I believe that sounds about right. At least that's what Mandalorian's first season was about five. So this is around there.
Yeah, maybe like, 6 or 7 then. Yeah because yeah. like, you know, that led into season 2 and then that stuff happened. So yeah. So it'd be like 5 or yeah. 6 years after, or 5 to 7 years after the second Death Star blew up. So
yeah.
But that was badass to see him though. Like I was like, yeah, whoa. So I knew that he looked familiar, and then as soon as you said that, I was like, yeah, that's where I remember him from.
Yeah. So. And even if she doesn't show up, it's the implication of all that. We know that they're going to do a show. I think there was a lot of rumors that they were either doing a show or a movie with her. I think they right. even rumors that they already cast it, if I remember correctly. So just the implications of, you know, him showing up. But it would be great. Cool. I almost would just want to see a show about him. I want to see how he got kicked off Kashyyyk and banned from there. But I think the weakest part
with that, that'd be cool.
Of the whole episode was probably the CG on the Hutts.
Well, I mean, it didn't look good in the even the special editions. It didn't look good.
No, it didn't look good then either. But
yeah,
I wonder why they didn't go with something more traditional like they had been doing with like Baby Yoda and stuff, you know.
You mean like a practical, like an actual, like yeah, it's too big. It like they yeah. said, I remember them talking about the original Jabba because he was a giant puppet then, and they said mm-hmm. it was a giant pain in the ass.
Really?
Yeah, so like it takes a lot to do it that way. It's just a lot easier for them to do CGI. So
yeah, and that's something we're familiar with Dave Filoni's work as the Hutts, because I think in the original animated movie for Clone mm-hmm. Wars they were trying to get back the baby Hutt
mm-hmm.
And then there were some arcs with the nephews, Hutt's nephews and things like that that were trying to be crime lords. Overall, I thought it was a better episode than the second one. If it wasn't for those moments, it probably would have been in the same range for me as the first one, though. So,
I mean, I think where you see Filoni's hand in this episode is the train scene. Like,
yes,
like his, like he is very good on when it comes to like the super action beat the shit out of people scenes. And that yeah. was pretty much that. Like, it reminded me a lot of in the second season of Mandalorian, where they're dressed like stormtroopers and they're trying to break into that
that prison
prison, like the where he actually takes his mask off,
the one that was like on the cliffs.
The
station where they were building, like, I forget what they were building there, but it was a factory.
Yeah, and just they had those big like dump trucks type mm-hmm. things, and they just kept the dudes just kept coming, and I was like it felt like that kind of scene, which was cool. You know, I also think that what's his name who's playing Boba Fett is still a little it's gonna sound terrible, I don't think he's as in shape as we would want Boba Fett to actually be in to do some of the stuff that he's supposed to do, and he's an old better dude shape at this point. Yeah.
Than when we saw him in Mandalorian. Because I don't know if you saw the memes, but there was a lot of memes when he had like that black, you know, it's cool to see how he got his garb, like his robes and everything. That was cool. But there was picture memes of like comparing him to like Uncle Fester, you know.
Oh wow. Yeah. Well, I know, so it was like, I think Dad Bod Fett. I saw that. Like,
yeah, but he's definitely more in shape than he was then. But I mean, they have him in black underneath the outfit for a reason, because it's slimming. So I don't know.
Yeah. See, overall, I enjoyed it. I did like it a little better than the first one. I think it's moving in a good direction, and I'm in for the long haul on it.
Yeah.
So
we'll see where it goes. So I'm excited to see where Black Krasan comes in. I just want to see. That guy was scary.
That would be kind of cool. So
yeah.
All right, Horace, looks like we're gonna wrap this one up a little early tonight.
We did.
Holy shit. We did it. All right, guys, make sure you you like, share, comment,
subscribe, tell your all friends, the things. Your family, yeah.
Ex-girlfriends, your mother, ex-boyfriends,
your father,
your dogs, yep. Remind people that this is what we do. It's a fun thing,
and keep reading comics.
Exactly, and support your local shop, no matter which one it is. Right. I'm actually going to be heading east for the weekend. First thing I got to go to, and I plan on hitting a couple shops in Altoona tomorrow afternoon, and then maybe more out even further east as I go, depending on my time. So
sweet,
but fun times. All right,
cool, man.
Thanks, everybody. See you next week.
Peace.